unto him in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets, O thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, instructed of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Father, we ask your blessing on the reading of your word this morning, and we pray what you will have come out of it will come out of it. Bless our ears, and I pray, Lord, that we can take the world and shove it on the outside here, as we say in your house, around your word. Let your word sink in our hearts and do its work, as only it can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. No, I haven't gone off the deep end. And I remember that Christmas was a couple of months ago. But I was reading, and I read a lot of different things. I don't read fiction, but I read a lot of different things by different people about the Bible. And I run across some writing by an old Amishman. And once in a while, you get something good out of that. And he made a point or two that I want to touch this morning out of this passage of Scripture. Did you ever wonder who made the wise men wise? Here they are. We're introduced to them, and the first words out of the Lord's mouth in the Scriptures here is they're called wise men. What made them wise? We were always brought up to think that there were three of them. But how do you know that there were three? Well, we don't. We have to assume that there were probably more than three because they came from the east. And three people by themselves didn't travel alone. They'd be waylaid by the robbers. So they couldn't travel at just three of them in a company. There had to be a group of them. Where did they come from? The Bible says they come from the east. Where is the east? And how did they find out anything about Jesus? How did they know where to go? Who told them that? How did they know what to look for? Those are questions that are not answered in Matthew chapter 2. One thing I learned down through the years is you want to find out something about the Bible, you learn what the Bible says about it. The Bible pretty much explains itself. And this old Amishman dug something out of there that I've never seen. And I read through my Bible. I've got a Bible reading schedule that I have followed for the last several years, and I read through my Bible about 4 times a year. So I have read any passage of Scripture in the Bible probably 20, 30, I don't know how many times, I started keeping track of this in 2018. So in that time, it's been 20, 25, 30 times I read through the Bible. And Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 6 is a verse that I have read at least 25 or 30 times. And if you read through your Bible, you've read through this verse again. So I'm not going to make a judgment here today, and I'll let you figure this out for yourselves. In Isaiah 60 and verse 6, it says, "The multitude of camels shall cover thee. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord." Would that happen to be a reference to the wise men, do you suppose? They come with dromedaries. You know, there are two different kinds of camels. There's a dromedary, and there's a Bactrian. How do you tell the difference? The dromedary is a two-humper, and the Bactrian is a single-humper. The expensive ones are the Cadillacs or the camels. That's the dromedaries. So if you were rich, you had a dromedary. If you were poor, you had a Bactrian. You could only afford one hump. Where did they come from? The Bible says they come from the east, and they had a multitude of camels. So a multitude of camels takes a multitude of people. One person per camel. So that the wise men, according to this scripture, if this is the one that refers to the wise men, there were a bunch of them. And they had a multitude of camels. And notice what they brought. They shall bring gold and incense. The word incense there covers a lot of things. A lot of the new versions, new perversions, change that word to frankincense. Now, when you say frankincense instead of incense, incense includes frankincense and myrrh. Those are both what we would refer to as an incense. If you leave out that reference there, you leave out the myrrh, and the myrrh is a very important part of the gifts. Myrrh had to do with dying. And Jesus Christ came to live on this earth a sinless life, 33 and a half years, and then die for the sins of the world. Myrrh was important. I look at this passage of Scripture, and I see the words Midian, Ephah, and Sheba. That's where they came from. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25. I know it's in here. I saw it just the other day. Genesis chapter 25 and verse 1. "Then again Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah, and she bare him Zimram, and Jokshan, and Medan, and Midian, and Ishbak, and Shua. And Jokshan begat Sheba and Dedan. And the sons of Dedan were Asherim and Letishim and Lidium And the sons of Midian, Ephah, E-P-H-A-H, and Epher, and Hanioch, and Abadiah, and Eldaiah. All these were the children of Keturah. And Abraham gave all he had unto Isaac, but unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from his son Isaac, from Isaac his son, while he yet lived, eastward into the east country. You see, the sons of Keturah, Abraham's children, and we see Midian, we see Ephah and Sheba. I believe the Bible would teach us that Abraham taught his children. He taught Isaac. Why would he have not taught the children of Keturah? Now, when he sent them away, they were not children. They were grown adults. They were probably approaching the mid-20s, maybe a little older than that. But in order to preserve the seed of Isaac, Abraham sent them eastward to the east. That's how they got to the east. And the places that they went to were called by their name. They were from Midian, from Ephah, and Sheba. Now, I believe that Abraham would have taught his children that there was a Messiah coming. Do you believe that? If Abraham was a good father, that's what he would have taught. He would have taught his kids just as he taught Isaac. And those children that Abraham had from his second wife, Keturah, knew all about the Messiah. And they knew all about the Messiah coming, and they all knew all about the land of Canaan that God had promised to Abraham and Abraham's seed, but had not yet come to pass. And they look forward to that. And I believe that that's why they knew where they were going and what they were looking for. Turn with me back a few chapters to Genesis 18. Genesis 18 talks about the pre-incarnate Lord stopping by on their way to Sodom and visiting with Abraham. And we all know that that's angel of the Lord is the pre-incarnate Christ. What was the testimony of Christ about Abraham? Notice chapter 18, verse 19. This is the words of the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ. They're talking about Abraham. The Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him?" Notice the words of the Lord about the testimony about Abraham. "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken to him." Abraham, by the testimony of the Lord, taught his children. The Lord knows the end from the beginning. We don't. But the Lord does. And he knew as a testimony to Abraham that Abraham would teach his children. Not just Isaac, but the children of Keturah. They were not poor, you notice. When they came from the country, so the east, they brought gold and incense, frankincense and myrrh, with them. They were not poor people. Abraham gave them what you might say seed money. So many times in our own, with our own children, we start them out. I know with some of mine, the first car come up that they wanted, and they needed somebody to sign for them. They had no credit. And Pappy went in there and signed the note. And they paid the payments under threat of death. But we give our children a head start. I know I've helped out kids with down payments on houses and stuff like that just to get them started. And I know you have too. That's the thing we do for our children. We raise our children. We try to do it right. And we install in them the necessity to do right themselves and start them off and give them a head start. And I believe Abraham did the same with his children. So they didn't go to the east poor. Abraham gave them gifts and seed money and got them started. And they started their own towns and their own areas. And that's where they came and that's where they prospered from. We were taught growing up that the three wise men were astrologers. They followed the stars and they knew all about the stars. Well, they probably looked for a star, but I don't believe that they were astrologers. I believe that they were men of faith, and I believe they believed the promises of God that was taught to them by their father. They will tell forth the praises of the star, the Christ child, and the young mother. You notice in Matthew, by the time they got there, he was not in a manger in Bethlehem. He was in a house. And you follow the story there, Herod had all the children under 2 years of age killed because he figured that the Christ child was probably less than two, but probably approaching two. So therefore, he had them all killed. Anything under two was killed in the area of Bethlehem. They weren't in Bethlehem, though. They were in Nazareth by that time. So they were in a house. Not a babe, but a toddler. What do we learn from that? Well, what we learn from that as mom and dad is we teach our kids. And it's our duty and our responsibility and our God-given task to bring our children upright. You can have a bunch of kids in a family, and you can raise a preacher in there, and you can raise a devil. But they all are instructed the same way. Everybody is a free moral agent. And I don't know why some kids do right and why some kids do wrong. I know why they should do right if they're taught right. But how come a kid that's taught right does wrong? I don't have the answer to that. Do our kids all do what we want them to do? Not necessarily. But still, that doesn't resolve us of our responsibility to teach them properly. The Bible says that if you bring your children up responsibly, when they're older, they'll not depart from it. And I've seen instances, and I know you have too, of a child that's brought up, goes astray, and later in life realizes where they went amiss, and they turn around and come back, and the promises of God are real and true. Our responsibility is to bring those kids upright. Our responsibility is to bring them under the sound of the gospel. I know in my case, my children, by and large, serve the Lord. Maybe not the way that I would like them to serve the Lord. Not all of my children are redneck, King James, Bible-believing Baptists. But most of them are in church. I have one that's not. But I pray that God will bring them back. They know better. They accepted Christ when they were a teenager, and they lived for Christ for a while, and you know, the ways and the wear of the world wears on them. And I'm sure I'm not the only parent that's got that problem. But it's not my responsibility. My responsibility is to bring them up right and bring them up under the fear of the Lord and the admission of the gospel. And if we do that, we've fulfilled our responsibility to our children and our responsibility to God. Our faith needs to be passed on to the next generation. Abraham passed on the faith that he had to his son Isaac, and I believe to the children of Keturah. And still generations away, they came back and they followed that star back to Bethlehem and Nazareth to where the Christ child was. Why do they call them wise men? Well, wise men seek Jesus. They came seeking their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In that passage of Scripture in Matthew, we find out that they were wise for a couple of different reasons. First of all, wise men worship. Wise men seek Jesus, and wise men worship Jesus. Who else is there to worship? Who else can save your blessed soul? Nobody but Jesus can save your soul. Another thing I think I learn about wise men bring offerings. I look around this room in here and I see letters from missionaries. Some 50-some letters from missionaries that this church supports. One of the things that we've done over the last couple or 3 years is we have raised our missionary support for each missionary. And now we'll probably do it again as the giving of God's people increases. Our missionary giving increases, not just the number of missionaries, but the amount that we give to each missionary. I think right now we're at $125 apiece, if my memory serves me correct. And they have a tough time on a foreign field. Inflation, you think inflation's bad here? Get on a foreign field. Inflation's twice as bad elsewhere. And you and I, as God's people, have the responsibility to send the gospel around the world and to provide those that are willing to go with the ways and the means to go. So wise men bring offerings. God has blessed this church because of the mission giving of this church. This church is mission-minded. We have a pastor that's mission-minded, which is no more than just fulfilling the Great Commission. That's all. We're just doing what we're supposed to do, and that's to send the gospel around the world. Wise men bring offerings. And wise men If I could read my writing, I would do good. And wise men heed God's advice. Herod says, when you find this Christ child, you come back and tell me, because I want to go worship him. Well, Herod was a snake, and that's putting it kindly. You know, I don't mean to be derisive to snakes, but Herod was a snake. And all he wanted to do was find out that where that Christ child was so he could go kill him. Because the Christ child to Herod was a threat to his throne. And he didn't want to be taken off of his throne. He didn't want another king to compete with. So Herod was afraid when he heard the story of the wise men. And you know, that's what sin does for you. Sin will make you afraid. Wise men still seek Jesus. That's why you and I, as members of Bible Baptist Church, need to continue to pass out tracts and spread the gospel. I had somebody tell me this week that they didn't want to hear that Jesus thing. And that's their right and their prerogative. But I still pass out the tracts, and I still look for opportunities to tell somebody about the Lord. And you and I ought to be on the hunt for somebody that will be receptive for the gospel. Don't quit passing out the tracts. And don't quit telling others about Jesus. And the best way you can tell somebody about Jesus is to start out by telling what Jesus has done in your life. I know down through the years, I was saved at the age of 10, 75 years ago. And then, looking back at my life, you know, hindsight is 20/20. I look back at my life and the life that I've lived, and God should have killed me years ago. But he kept me so that I can enjoy my later years. And my later years have been a lot closer to God than I ever was in my life. And I learned this, you can't outgive God, and God's always giving to you, and God is protective, and wise men still seek Jesus. And if I had it to do over again, I would still seek Jesus. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture and the thought that you give us out of this. And we pray, Lord, that we will pursue this on our own and read it and study it. And Lord, we know that you don't tell us everything we want to know, but you tell us everything that we need to know. So we pray, Lord, that you'll bless this message this morning and the scripture that you've given us. And we know our Bible will always interpret itself, that every verse has a companion verse. And we pray, Lord, that our insight will be opened a little bit because of that and cause us to delve more into the Bible and see what the Bible says and let the Bible speak for itself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.